We are living in an era of relativism. It seems everything is relative in our daily lives. As long as you choose to think what is right, that is right. As it's your choice, whatever is you choose to think, that is the truth. It does not matter. The Bible does not really matter, or the tradition does not really matter. All it matters is your choice. You choose to think on something, and that remains to be true for the rest of your life. We are living in an era of relativism, which creates a lot of confusion in our society. We talk about homosexuality, constitutional right given to homosexuals. Everybody has relative views on this subject. And some will think it is sinful. Some will think it is not sinful. Some will think it is perfectly okay. It's just a way of sexual orientation. Whatever you think tonight or today is truth to you because we believe in relativism. And relativism creates a lot of confusion in our society. And that brings a lot of issues into our society where we need to discern properly, but we have no guide. We think we know the truth, but really there is no way to tell whether what you believe is the truth. Because whatever you think, whatever you believe, is absolutely truth to you. And whatever I believe, that does not matter because everything is relative. Now, that philosophy, that idea has crept into churches as well. As long as you have a placard said, it's a church, it's a church. Whatever you think a church to be, that's a church. In the city of Gardena, we have several Japanese Buddhist temples. And one of them is called Gardena Buddhist Church. It is no longer called Gardena Buddhist Temple. It is called Gardena Buddhist Church. To them, it's a church. But to me, it's not a church. It's a temple. But they decide to call it a church. And they think that is right because we believe in a relativism. Whatever you think, that's fine. But according to the Bible, that is obviously not a church. But to them, it is a church. A few minutes ago, in the video, the purpose video, what is a church? What is the blueprint for a church? Can we just go around and ask people what a church should be? Could that be a church? That's exactly what Willow Creek Church did a long time ago. When Bill Hybels went out to plant a church, he went to the neighborhoods and knocked on doors and asked the people, what kind of church would you like to see in this place? What's your idea of a church? And he asked a bunch of unbelievers to define what a church should be. About 20 years later, this is what the church concluded. We have managed to draw tons and tons of people into our church, but we have definitely failed to raise a bunch of disciples of Jesus Christ. That is from the internal study. After about 22 decades of getting people into the church and growing to be the number four church in the United States, running about 20,000 people every week, they came to a conclusion. We have failed to disciple. A few minutes ago, we saw connected Christ, growing Christ, then serve through Christ. They might have succeeded in drawing people, connecting even people to Jesus Christ, but they have certainly failed to grow in Christ. It's a church. Perhaps not a biblical church, not a completely biblical church, but it is a church. Then we need to define what a biblical church is. What is a biblical church? Biblical church is a church that is firmly founded on the doctrines and principles of the Word of God. That's the Bible. That's why we call it a biblical church, because the foundation is built on the Bible. That's a biblical church. So biblical church is church of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is head of that church. He's the one who bought the church with his own blood. So there are three characteristics for being a biblical church. Number one, Verse 28 says, the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. In other words, a biblical church is the one purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a human organization. It's not the pastor's church. It's the church of Jesus Christ, because he paid his price to purchase us. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, not redeemed by some pastor's blood. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why a biblical church must be bought by his blood. A person has to be saved. A person needs to be baptized to be a part of his local, independent New Testament church. That's the first characteristic. Then again, a biblical church is the one that is brought under the authority and headship of Jesus Christ. Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, he's the head of the body, the church. Jesus Christ is head of the church. And Jesus Christ is the head of Hillcrest Baptist Church. Under him, you have a pastor, under shepherd, who is called Paul. Then we have families and congregation. So unless a church is under the authority of Jesus Christ, unless Jesus Christ, through his word, is the authority for our final, for whatever we do in this church, it's not going to be a biblical church. They talk about family churches today. Why go to church? We've seen too many churches going into sinful practices. We've seen too many pastors falling into sin. So why do we go to church? Let's just get around a couple of people around the house, and let's just sing some hymns, and let's read a word of God, preach a word of God. And they call it a church. They call it a home church. It is a church because church is a gathering, but it is not a biblical church. It cannot be a biblical church because a biblical church is brought under the authority of Jesus Christ, under his organization, under his leadership, and there should be a biblical leadership within the church properly organized. You need to have a pastor. You need to have families. You need to have ordinances like baptism later. And unless a church is brought under the authority of the Word of God, it cannot be a biblical church. Yeah, we can say this is church. Yeah, let's get around, and we will quote even a verse where two or three gathered in my name. It does not require two people, by the way. All it requires one person. Then Christ is with that person. You don't even need two people to be a church. Just one person is needed. So biblical church has to be brought under the authority of Jesus Christ. Then again, a biblical church is the one built by his grace. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, upon this rock I will build my church. Who said that? Jesus said that. Jesus said that I will build my church. Church belongs to Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm going to build a church for you. So if Christ is going to build our church together at Hillcrest here, his favor must remain with us. He must be pleased with what we do. He must be pleased with each family in this congregation before he can really start pouring blessings upon this congregation. When God was dealing with the nation of Israel, when Israel was in sin, usually the first step he asked for was repentance. Repent. Turn around. Change your course. Come back to me. Then he said, I will start pouring my blessings upon your nation. So biblical church is the one that is built by his power, by his grace, for his purpose of evangelizing the world. So as an introduction, a biblical church must be a church of Jesus Christ. In other words, a church has to be a church. We are not here to build another church. We are not here to plant another church. We are not just here so that the Pastor Paul have some work to do. None of these. He can easily find a secular job somewhere, but we are here to build a biblical church. A church has to be a church. Church is not a concert. It's not an entertainment center. It's not a nursery. It's not a relief organization. A church has to be a biblical church. A church has to be a church of Jesus Christ. Unless we're very clear about building a biblical church, what's the point? I mean, the church is everywhere. Just about every corner you will find another church. Why there are so many churches? But the point is, if you're really striving to get a build a biblical church, church that is based on the Word of God, church that God is the head, church that Jesus is pleased to bless, that's the kind of church we want to build in this place called Hillcrest Baptist Church. You got to be different. We may run 20, we may run 50. 200 people. We may run 300 people. Compared to 40,000 of Lakewood, it's very small. But God is not into numbers game. God is not interested in how many people actually gather here. Yeah, he said, he talked about faithfulness. There was nobody when we started our church. It's just us, the family. But I still preached, and God blessed. So let us continue to build a church that God's favor will remain with us. And with that in mind, let me give you three recommendations this morning how to be a biblical church. Number one, a biblical church is a church that connects people to Jesus Christ. That connects people to Jesus Christ. And we do that through, number one, repentance. Repentance. Verse 21, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. It's a repentance toward God, not to your mother-in-law, not to your children, not to your parents. It is repentance towards God. Many people think repentance changes your mind. Yes, I've been bad to my children. I've been bad to my parents. I've been bad to my in-laws. So I'm going to change my mind, so I'll try to be better from next day. That's not repentance. Certainly not biblical repentance. Biblical repentance means repentance toward God. Yeah. And the churches try to connect people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not asking them to just have a sinner's prayer. Let's just have a word of prayer. Okay, pray after me. Okay, I'm a sinner, Lord, so save me so I can go to heaven. Or I'm saved today. Hallelujah. That's not salvation. Bible speaks about. Paul is saying, I testify before the Jews and the Greeks. And what did he say? I preached on repentance toward God. Repentance toward God. What have I done to God? I'm a sinner by birth. I'm a sinner by my practice as well. I was born with my sinful nature because of Adam's nature, and I practice sin, and I do sin because of the sinful nature. I've been a Christian for about 36 years now. I still fall into sin because as long as I have this flesh here, the nature remains with me. So what my repentance? My repentance has to be toward God. God, I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I cannot save myself. And I'm willing to change my heart, which will result in a change in my life as well. There's so much wishy-washy these days, in church especially. Christ was very definitive in many things. He never was wishy-washy. Yeah, you do whatever you please. He never took a stand like that. Everything is very clear in the Word of God. Yes, I admit there's some gray areas, yes. But there are a lot of things that are very clear, like daylight. But we people made the church so wishy-washy. Whatever you like, whatever you desire, what kind of music would you like to hear? Okay, we'll adopt that. What kind of Bible you want to read? We will adopt that too. What kind of standard would you like to? Okay, we'll adopt it too. It's all about us. No longer Christ. It's no longer my taste. I don't like the pastor because he preaches this way. I don't like him because he parties this way instead of this way. I don't like him because he wore a pink tie. Or whatever the reason, it's all about us. Church is not about us. It's about Christ. We exalt Jesus Christ. We connect people to Christ. We try to disciple people to Christ to be more like Jesus Christ. In reality, be very frank about it, it has nothing to do with us. We do not have that kind of privilege here. We do not deserve God's love. We do not deserve God's salvation. We are all condemned to death and eternal hell, but we are rescued by the blood of Jesus Christ. So all we can do is, Lord, tell me what to do. I'm here. I'm available. Whatever you desire, Lord, count me in. And that's the kind of attitude we should have so that God can have the preeminence in all things we do in the church. So we connect people through repentance, and we also connect people to Jesus Christ through faith. Bible says in verse 21, testifying both to Jews and also Greek, repentance with God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe all roads leads to heaven as long as you are very sincere? Do you believe that? Do you believe everybody will go to heaven one day as long as they're sincere? No, right? Okay. You heard of Hillsong Church in Australia? Huge mega church, Hillsong. Yeah. Pastor's name is Houston. Houston says, we worship the same God as Muslims. Yeah, we worship the same God as Muslims do. And he came out with even a word called Chrislam. Yeah, it is called Chrislam. Chrislam. Christianity and Islam put together, Chrislam. We're basically serving the same God. But by Bible says, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, full stop. My Bible does not say, okay, it could be Jesus Christ, slash, it could be Muhammad, slash, it could be Buddha, slash, it could be Confucius, slash. No, none of these. Faith towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All roads do not lead to heaven, by the way. Joel Austin, the pastor of Lakewood Church. You heard the interview. He was interviewed by Larry King. Asked one of the questions. Could Muslims go to heaven? Simple question. Larry King asked him, okay, do Muslims go to heaven? Guess what the pastor, Joel Austin, said. Pastor of 42,000 people every week. It is not my position to say whether they go to heaven or not. But I believe, I have to believe Jesus Christ to go to heaven. And he said, I don't know. It is not for me to say that. Brethren, we are in a very confused era, even among churches. But Bible is very clear. Church needs to connect people to Christ through repentance, through faith, than through the gospel. Because gospel is the power of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the power of God. Gospel is the power of God. So we need to connect people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's throw a question at you. What do young generation looking for in a church? What do you think young generation is looking for in a church? More music? More rock and roll? More entertainment? They will come. They will sit on the pew After several weeks, they'll be asking the question, what am I doing here? I'm sitting in a church, but I can easily get this stuff, whether it's a music, entertainment, whatever, I can easily get this from anywhere else. And why am I sitting in the church and bombarded with more of this? Then the person will walk out of the church. Because church is not offering what the young generation really need to hear. What the young generation today need to hear is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God which will connect them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what they need to hear, and that's what they really like to hear according to recent survey. We always talk about this service. Young people, oh, they want more music, so let's sing here. Yeah, let's as a group, you know, be groovy about this. And that's what we hear about. That's what young people are seeking. No. They're raised in such a relativistic society. Nothing seems to be true. There's no absolutes. They don't know what the life is all about. There's terror, crimes, and murders everywhere. And what is life, they be asking. They are seeking for something really absolute they can depend on day after day. And they go to church seeking some religious relief, and all they see and hear about is some music and rock and roll and some wishy-washy gospel and some social gospel, and that's what they hear today. That's why young people are so frustrated with the churches today. They do not stay. They will stay as long as their parents are there, but as soon as they're free or old enough, they'll walk out of the church. Because we churches have failed to preach the word of God, which is the power of Jesus Christ that will connect people, young people, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray Hillcrest will remain a biblical church, preaching the word of God, preaching the whole counsel of God to every generation. To an older generation, younger generation, even children, will try to share the goodness of Christ when they are still young. And I pray Hillcrest be a biblical church by connecting people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then not only that, secondly, a biblical church is a church that grows in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We say the discipleship. And we do that through his word. Verse 27 reads, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the counsel of God, the whole Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reads, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching." Foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, preaching can be foolish, but that's the way God likes it. So what can we do? He's the head of this church. I got to obey and will continue to preach. Okay. Those churches who continue to preach the word of God week after week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, during the week, and different times, those other churches are still remaining biblical. A lot of churches came and went. A lot of them just disappeared because they failed to preach the whole counsel of God. Apostle Paul made it very clear, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." From Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 21. He preached everything in the Word of God. But today, there's too much shallow preaching. We sort of scratched the surface a little bit. We really do not go into deep into the theological matters. Shallow preaching. Babies do not grow with one meal a day. They require three meals a day, proper meals for that matter. We Christians need proper preaching and teaching of God's word. Too much shallowness around. Yeah, you ask some people around you who've been at the church for the last 20 years, okay, tell me something about predestination. What predestination? Tell me something about substitution and death of Jesus Christ. Vicarious death of Jesus Christ. Tell me something about it. What? I've never heard of those words. We are simply scratching the surface. But we must go deep, deep. When you dig a mine, that's a gold mine. I mean, you got to go deeper, deeper into ground to get the gold ore. But somehow in the churches today, shallow preaching is the fad. Okay, if you preach 30 minutes, people keep saying, keep looking at the watch. Pastor, it's already 30 minutes. You know, my roast beef is cooking in my oven. I got to go home. You know, yeah. And some, that's why they have a clock right in the middle of some churches. So they can all see the clock and remind the pastor. If you shorten it to 30 minutes, before you know it, it's going to be 20 minutes long. Before you know it, it's 15 minutes long. There will be no preaching. It's not a preaching service. It's more of an entertainment service. Then you go home. You feel good. You know why we feel good after a charismatic kind of service? Because it pleases our flesh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know that. Yeah. When we go one, that doesn't make us move. But when, let's say when you go, that'll, you know, stimulate your flesh to respond. It's all about beat. But it's the Word of God that'll make you strong. There are too many spiritual babies in too many churches today. Especially in the States, I'm afraid. There are too many spiritual babies in too many churches in the United States today. We do not seem to take the Word of God as the revered Word of God anymore. We take it out on Monday or Sunday morning and come to the church, open it for a few minutes and close it, and we do not look at the Bible again till next Sunday morning. Now, you don't even need to bring the Bible anymore because everything is shown on the screen anyways. Why bring a Bible with you? I mean, we discarded our hymnals a long time ago, so might as well leave our Bible at the house and just come as you are. Yeah, come in your PJs if you like. That's how the Crystal Cathedral began, as a drive-in church a long time ago. Yeah. But there's too much shallow preaching, but we do not grow unless we grow in the Word of God. So it's the Word of God, and secondly, it is in His grace we need to grow. It is in His grace. Verse 32 says, I commend you to God, to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. The Word of grace, which is able to build you up. Yes, it takes grace for us to build up. That's why 2 Peter chapter 3 reads, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two things Peter's talking about. Grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we need to grow in His Word, and we need to grow in His grace. It's a new long time. This is what A.W. Tozer said a long time ago. When a diseased Christianity becomes evangelistic, it merely spreads the area of infection. Does that make sense? Let me say that again. When a diseased Christianity becomes evangelistic, it merely spreads the area of infection. As I said, the largest church in the United States runs over 40,000 people every week. 40,000 people. And the message there is primarily on prosperity gospel. If you give to the church, God will bless you. If you do something for the Lord, God will bless you. The purpose is, how can I prosper in the name of Jesus Christ? It's nothing to do about my sacrificial giving, my service for the Lord. It's nothing to do about how I should serve the Lord. It's all about me. How can I prosper in Christ? What do I need to do? Become a wealthy person, wealthy businessman, better marriage life. It's all about us. prosperity gospel. There are 40,000 people every week come to this church and hear shallow preaching on prosperity. I say this with care. At best, they will hear something about Jesus Christ, but that'll be offsided. That'll be lopsided. At worst, number of people in their church will go in the godless pit of hell because they are constantly under the hearing of prosperity gospel. That's not the case. It has to be, we must grow in the word, we must grace in his grace that we may continue to serve him right. Then we must also grow under his leadership. Verse 28 reads, the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. And Paul said, I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. Let me share this with you. There's a church in Korea that was built recently at a cost of $300 million. Yeah, I said it right. $300 million. And we call that church Golden Sepulchre. Golden Grave. Golden Sepulchre, we call it. It's in right in the center of a city called Seoul. It cost $300 million to build a church. When I heard this story, I remember what Jesus said. I have no place to lay my head. I can understand having a building for a church, but 300 million people, it seems a bit little too much. But that's what's happening. I'm a Korean by birth, and I cry for the churches in Korea. After the war, in the 50s and 60s, the Korea was very, very poor. It's a very poverty. People are starving to death in the 60s with no food to eat. But during the last 40, 50 years, Korea became one of the 10 largest economies in the world. And GDP or GNP, the gross, it's about 30,000 per head per individual now. It has become a very wealthy nation. But problem is that Christianity is dying. Christianity is dying. You know why it's dying? In the U.S., in this country, it took us more than 200 years for the churches to become secular or liberal. It took more than 200 years before churches became very liberal. But then again, I mean, a lot of the immigrants at the beginning, they all came from Europe, so it may be more than 200 years. You see, parents came with faith. The children were taught, grandchildren were taught, and grand-grandchildren were taught. So there was a time for the Christianity to settle down. The Christian principle became part of the society where people prayed to God, where 10 commandments were honored. So there's a norm in this society. It takes time for Christianity to settle down or be part of everyday's life. But in Korea, everything just happened so quickly. It came. Within 100 years, Korea became so economically affluent and churches became so wealthy. The pastor became so powerful. So we never had a chance for the principles to settle within the society. Now churches are dead. Christian is gone. Very few Bible preaching churches today in Korea. Because we failed to see the leadership. Bible says the Holy Ghost has made overseers to feed the church of God. Christ is the head and pastor is the under shepherd under the leading of the Holy Spirit to feed the flock. And that's how we grow. Pastors are not kings, nor dictators.
Okay. We people have the final authority in a biblical church. But a church, a biblical church, a church that is growing in Christ. Then finally, one more biblical church is a church that is serving through Christ. You might have noticed these are your purpose, church purpose, serving through Jesus Christ. And we do that in verse 19 with all humility. Verse 19 reads, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. All humility of mind. Jesus came to minister or to be ministered. He came to minister. He came to serve. He had no place to lay his head. He has no home, no family. He came to serve and then die. Today, pastors are kings. They are dictators. They are overruling everything within the church. They are living like billionaires. You heard about some church in recent days raising $60 million to purchase a private jet so that the pastor can fly all over the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Do you think Jesus couldn't have done that? It's the same thing. But raising $60 million for a private jet so he can fly around the world to preach the word of God, and all these, pardon me, suckers donating whatever amount of $3,000 to purchase the plane. I was hoping the project will go down. But guess what? They purchased the plane. Oh yeah, $60 million. They purchased. Imagine Brother Paul, you know, limousine waiting for him outside one day. When the church is running, let's say about 10,000. Yeah, okay, is my limousine ready? All right. Nathan would say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, the limousine ready here. Okay. Okay, sir. Yeah. Okay. Then he would just call his pilot. Okay. Hey, is my private jet ready to go? Yes, sir. It's all fueled up and ready to go. Where to, sir? Las Vegas. I'm under tremendous stress. I need some relief here. So I need to go to Las Vegas and do something, or whatever it takes. We laugh about it. But in reality, some of these are happening within churches today. Yeah. It's a crazy world. But we're supposed to serve through Christ with humility. A servant has no rights. Servant has responsibilities only. We do not complain. We say, yes, sir. Whatever you say, Lord, I will do with all my heart. That's the question, humility. And Bible is very clear. When you humble, God will raise you one day. When you be proud, God will put you down. But we all need to serve Christ with humility. And the pastor needs to that kind of life with example in the congregation. Not only that, a church needs to serve with sacrifice. Sacrifice. Look at verse 20. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. For 34, these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. We serve with sacrifice. We just been to Philippines for a missions trip. We just came back a couple of weeks ago. It's a remote island called Bohol. And there's some churches there, and we are visiting with them, and they don't have anything. They have nothing. Yeah. Their average weekly earning or monthly earning would be less than $100 US. They have very little. But with so little, it's amazing how generous they are. They want to serve us with everything they have. They want to do something for us. Well, we went to serve them, but each time we end up coming back being served by them. It's incredible when we have so little that we want to serve others, be hospitable with that. But when we have so much in this place, we don't seem to be as sacrificial as we are. In the Old Testament, the Jews gave more than 10%. 10% is just the minimal they gave towards God. In the New Testament, we say, oh, tithe is not a New Testament principle, so don't give God grace. It's about commercialism. It's mine. It's my money. Why give to God? But brethren, we need to serve with sacrifice. We need to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe Christ is coming. It scares me at times when we think about the Sodom and Gomorrah, how they were destroyed by God. And I don't believe they were all homosexuals. There were some homosexuals in that city, I'm sure. But I think there was just a portion of that population there. But God had to destroy it. God had to destroy that city. But today we are living in the most affluent society of the world. And we have just legalized or constitutionally legalized homosexual marriages in this country. If the same God had to condemn a city, only a portion of population were into sin, how much more God should be ready to punish this nation? I think God's punishment has even begun in this country in some ways. But we still have time because Christ has not returned yet. And we must serve with sacrificial giving, not only to God, but to his causes. The whole world is opening up. Latin American countries are opening up. Southeast Asian countries are open. They are wide open for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad you are having September month of missions. We are having missions conference in September also. I'm glad you are having one because you want to make sure the gospel is being spread all around the world as well. But finally, we need to serve with sharing. Sharing. For 35 reads, support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give. So biblical church served through Jesus Christ with humility, with sacrifice, with sharing. Let me share with the story and I'm done. We have a Spanish pastor in our church. We ordained him last Monday to gospel ministry. His name is Juan. He's from Mexico, but he's been here for many years, and he's our Spanish pastor. God gave him for a son, but he had a brain tumor when he was born. That was discovered after about 6 months. His first son had a tumor, and they had to take care of their child till he was at the age of 18. Imagine your first son born with a tumor and remain in a vegetative state for next 18 years. And they took care of him when he went to heaven. Then God gave them second son. His name is Juan, also Juan Jr. 16 years ago, he was a motor accident in Mexico. 16 years ago. And today he's still recovering. He's still going through his physical therapy week after week. God gave them two sons. They have a daughter also, but two sons. First one died. Second one is still struggling with his physical therapy. And whenever I look at them, Brother Juan, our Spanish pastor, is perhaps the most cheerful person on earth. He's always full of joy. He's always willing to talk with us and comfort us. He's not complaining about his life, nor his wife. His wife is a really saint. That's why she's called Maria. I think just about, we have five Marias in our Spanish ministry, five Marias, then we have about six Martas, Marthas. So ministry must be pretty good, our Marys and Marthas, and must be pretty good. But the, you know, then we may have a Jesus too, Jose, you know, Maria Jesus Jose or something, yeah. So, you know, they're so religious, they want everything. I want Jesus, I want Maria, and I want Joseph as well. So they call themselves, you know. But he's most cheerful, willing to serve, willing to be there. His wife is wonderful. She's gone through his first son, second son going through it. Her younger brother is physically handicapped also. So she has all these troubles and trials in life, but they are still serving the Lord. They are still serving the Lord and others. Brother Juan is not young. He's in his 50s now, but he wants to be ordained so he can go into full-time gospel ministry. So we ordained him last Monday, and he's cheerful as ever, but the point is he's serving with humility. It can be tough. Christian walk can be tough. Can be lonely, difficult. When we stand for Jesus Christ, when this church continues to stand for the cause of Jesus Christ, there will be critics around you. There will be people pointing at you. You guys are crazy. We are living in 21st century. We don't believe that way. Oh, we don't believe in separation. We don't believe in standard. Oh, no, no, no. Fundamentalists are dead. We got to go with the world. Your very friends will try to destroy your faith or drag you down. But let me encourage you this morning. You know, to build a biblical church. Not just build any church. But if you're interested, if you're dying to build a biblical church, we must build it on the principles of the Word of God and build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we do that through connecting people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We do that by growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we do that by serving through the love and power of Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray Hillcrest Baptist Church will continue to not only numerically grow, but spiritually become a giant in this area and also around the world, because the need is so critical in these final days before the coming of Jesus Christ. With that, let me encourage you, and let me also congratulate today for your wonderful day of organization as well.